I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's such a more collaborative medium, film and television, that you are in an actor, you're like the bass player in a band. You just kind of do what other people want you to do, but you think that you are running the whole show.
Hello, this is Christoph Triumph. Welcome to Varvet International. This is the 31st episode of this podcast, and I love getting emails from you guys. So please keep on sending those. It's varvetpod@triumf.se. Triumf.se. Varvetpod@triumf.se. That would be super. Speaking of international, Varvet is made in cooperation with one of my favorites of the international Swedish fashion brands, Uniforms for the Dedicated. I think it's safe to say that it's the most progressive company also when it comes to green thinking. Uniforms for the Dedicated strive to be working with solely recycled fabrics by 2018. That's fantastic. Read more about that and check out their fabulous menswear at uniformsforthedicated.com. That's uniformsforthedicated.com. Thanks, guys. A few years ago, I fell deeply in love with a new American TV series, Up All Night. I don't know if you remember it, but it featured some of my favorite actors, Christina Applegate, Will Arnett, and of course the lovely Maya Rudolph of Saturday Night Live fame. And Maya's character had an assistant, played by this week's guest, Jennifer Hall. I guess what I liked about that show was that I led the same life as the protagonists, having our first child, trying to have a life and a career at the same time and so forth. And if you are listening through the Acast app, you can click your screen right now to go to the trailer for the show, just to like a reminder. But anyway, the show was canceled after two seasons. But what happened to Jennifer Hall, that fantastically funny actors? Well, quite a lot, we'll soon find out. She's been doing guest roles in various TV series and movies and so forth. She's doing stand-up comedy, and she runs a business. All this and more on today's episode of Varvet International. Roll the tape, please. Did I ask you how you are today?
You didn't.
Okay, how are you?
I'm great.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
What's been keeping you busy?
Well, I had a pretty standard Los Angeles day. I woke up, went on a run, and then met my friend for a hike, and then...
Oh, so you ran and hiked?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you call a double.
Yeah, sometimes I pull a double, because, you know, hiking is more therapy and than exercise, I think.
But it's too hot today to go hiking, but that was in the morning, perhaps.
Yeah, it was in the morning.
Okay.
Then went grocery shopping. Isn't this fascinating? And then I cooked a beautiful meal for my friend and her son, and we just ate dinner together, and now I'm here.
The traffic is going to be really bad, but
yeah,
we'll have to live with that.
Yeah, I don't think you missed on anything.
No, perhaps not, but it's nice to hear. But you do run a business, right?
Yes.
Or a couple of even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I have a jewelry business and I have a jewelry store here in Los Angeles.
But you don't have to be there.
No, I don't. I don't have to be there. I don't participate in the daily ongoing activity of it.
What is your contribution to it? Designing?
Yeah, I do some of the designing and I just, you know, I did a lot to build it and create it. And now it just, my partner runs it and I don't really have to participate.
And that's your husband as well?
Yes.
Okay. That's a great setup, I guess.
Yeah.
Or it could be a really, really bad one.
Which is why I don't have to be there.
Okay. So do you want to plug, what's it called?
It's called Jenny and Jim Bob, jennyandjimbob.com. And it's located in North Hollywood on Magnolia Boulevard.
And you told me before we started taping that North Hollywood is sort of a really happening neighborhood right now.
Yeah, it's a newly bustling art community. There's lots of dance studios and art studios and new restaurants. It's a really fun place. And they're building some of those like huge buildings that have speakers in the swimming pools, which to me is like ultimate luxury.
Okay, speakers in the swimming pool.
Yeah, so that when you're swimming, you can listen to music. And, you know, I just want to be part of a community that has that, those type of extras, you know.
And do you have one of those?
No, I don't get to participate, but I just know they exist.
Okay, cool. When you said that, I thought that it would be like underwater music.
Yeah. Underwater music.
Is it like that?
Yes.
Wow. I didn't even realize that that was physically possible.
Yes. See, you think that all the cool things come from Sweden, but no. We come up with a few things over here.
That's fantastic. Do you know anyone who has that?
I don't.
I'll make it my mission to find a person that has that and sort of get to be their friend.
Yes. Yes. And then introduce me to them.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
We can tag team this.
Yeah, this is something we do. We met through a podcast, but now we are on a life mission to find a person with a underwater music pool.
Yes.
But can I ask you, what are your current projects?
I've been doing a lot of writing, and I've been doing some stand-up, and just kind of the old L.A. artist thing where you just now you're creating new stuff and seeing what's gonna stick, what's gonna move on. And
yeah, I was surprised to find a clip on YouTube with you performing stand-up.
Oh, you saw that? Yeah.
How long have you been doing that?
You know, not very long. It's something I always wanted to do, and as an actor, it's such a collaborative medium. Like, you can't just go out on the street and act and not get into trouble. So I thought stand-up is kind of the closest way to be able to perform and write your own stuff and kind of just helm your own ship. So I've been doing it probably for about a year now.
Okay, and how is it going?
It was good. I've gotten to play at all the big comedy places in LA, and I've gotten to, you know, showcase some of my music, and it's been really fun.
Do you do like comedy music as well?
Yes, I write funny music and not funny music, but the most, you know, I've gotten the most kind of interest in my funny music. And then I sometimes, if there's enough time, I work it into my set.
How much material do you have now, like one and a half years into your career?
You know, I've probably got about maybe 10 minutes.
But that's good.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's a hard, you know, every second has blood and tears on it.
Of course, yeah. I used to try to do stand-up comedy, but I had to quit because, well, the podcast thing took off too well, sort of. And that was easy, but stand-up comedy was hard.
Yeah.
So I dropped out. But I really, really miss it.
Yeah.
But the thing was, I don't know if you can relate to this, But the thing with me and my stand-up comedy was that all my material felt so written, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I came up with jokes that were sort of funny, but they didn't really resonate with my soul.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing when you're writing for stand-up is to have a true premise, and it's a premise that's true for you, that's relatable to other people, but something that really, that when you're talking about it, you're not, like, you get excited to talk about it. Because, I mean, there's lots of really good jokes in the world, but, you know, the way one person tells a joke, the same joke, is not going to be the way that I tell the joke. And it's just who can find, like, the truest, who's got, like, the most open vessel for that expression.
During this time, do you still do jokes that you did on your first gig?
I do. I like them, and I still like them. And I actually, I'm kind of one of those comics. Like, I'm not one of those people that are like, hey, Cincinnati, how's the weather there? Or like, hey, sir, nice hat. I'm more of like, it's more of kind of like a thing. Like, it's written and scripted.
Yeah.
It's not, nothing's like off the cuff. And that's kind of the fun part, is making it feel like it's off the cuff. So because of that, I have a lot of jokes that I did from the very beginning that I like.
Yeah. How come you don't improvise then?
Well, it takes a while to be, I don't know, I just haven't reached that place.
No. Crowd work is also really, really
hard.
It's
so hard.
Yeah.
Like, I think I had one person ever say something to me while I was performing, and I'm just, I look at them and I'm like, okay. Like I just don't know even what to say. Like, I ignore it first, and then if it gets to be too much, then I go, okay. And then I just keep going.
But it hasn't been hecklers.
No, no one heckles me.
Maybe we'll get back to your stand-up career, but was wondering if we could sort of... I like to go way back, all right?
Okay.
So...
It was a cold and rainy night.
When you came to the world?
When I came into the world.
You were born in 1978?
Yes.
And you grew up in Alabama?
Yes, until I was a teenager and my mother joined the military. So then I moved all over the U.S. with my mother.
What did she do before that for a living?
She's a nurse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did she join the army?
She joined the Air Force.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. She just was going through... My parents had just gotten divorced, and so she had three kids she had to raise, and the military would take care of us and really helped her figure out how to wrangle three kids as a single mom.
Where are you in the sibling, among your siblings? Where are you age-wise?
Where am I age? I'm the eldest.
Okay, all right.
You know, the smartest, the prettiest, the most attractive, the... just kidding. The biggest ego.
And the most humble.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No. No, all of my siblings are extremely remarkable, and every one of us are very different, and we were raised by a very strong woman and very strong women. So
where did your dad go?
He just went where dads go.
Okay. And and where is that?
Well, he's in Texas.
All right. Yes. Is that where they keep them?
Yes, that's where they keep dads.
Okay.
No, he's very happily remarried and just had a baby. So now there's five of us.
All right. But when they divorced, he sort of disappeared from your life for the time being, or?
Yeah. I mean, it was the 80s, and I don't know, things were... He just left, and like, it was kind of hard for my parents to navigate how they were going to share the time, and especially with my mom being in the military and moving around a lot. So we just stayed with her, and then my dad eventually came around, and now he's like very much in my life and my brothers and sisters' lives.
But you being a teenager and your parents getting divorced, was that hard for you, or was it?
Yeah, I mean, it was very hard. Yeah, it was confusing, and I don't know, you know, and I kind of blocked a lot of it out, you know, just trying to survive. You know, when you're in a traumatic situation as a kid, you just kind of do the best you can to just get through day to day and try and keep as few people like pissed off at you, and try and just do the best you can, or make more and more people pissed off at you, because then it's easier, because then you just know that they're going to be angry at you and you don't have to wonder why, and, you know, kind of navigating life through all of that. It's made my acting work very rich.
How is that?
Well, just having a lot of that angst and that drive to fit in, and the drive to, I mean, you know, people who want to be actors, we're not, we all share something, like we just want people to like us.
Is that so?
I think so. I think that from a very, very deep place, like anyone who chooses to be in this type of entertainment field, they have something that's missing that they're looking to fill through the acceptance and adulation.
Oh, that's a really hard word. I don't know what
don't
that
know
means.
I don't even know if it's a real word.
Okay. But how would you define it?
Through the praise of other people.
Mm. My parents divorced as well, but I was a few weeks or perhaps a month or something like that when it happened. So it's always been the case for me, but it's interesting that it can be traumatic to someone. How old were you? You were in your teens.
Yeah, I think I was probably like 10 or 11. I was preteen.
Preteen. Okay, you were in your preteen. But I would assume that you would understand, I mean, why they would split up and so forth.
No, you know, I didn't understand. And
did you blame yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know if every kid does, but you always look at like, oh, I was like so hard to deal with. It made me angry. And so I began the anger phase of my youth. You know, the rebellious, the lots of just confusion, because, you know, nowadays I think people look at young people in a different way than they did then. Nowadays, like, parents would sit their kids down and go, like, be very clear, like, this is just mom and dad, we're not getting along, we want to live in separate places, but we still love you, and we're going to do everything we can to make this like an easy transition for you, or like make sure that you know the whatever. And back then it was like, don't ask, just stop asking, just be quiet. And plus, like, both of my parents were going through their own emotions of going through this thing. So they're managing their own experience was so overwhelming that the idea of managing the kids' experience just kind of fell to the side.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds hard.
Yeah.
On all of you guys, or were your siblings really small, or did they have a hard time as well?
They were, you know, they were small, but I mean, the thing is that it just never ends. It's not like, okay, they leave and then all of a sudden life goes back to normal. Then you are dealing with it forever. Mm. Like, what's it like to grow up without a dad? What's it like to be a young boy and not have a father, you know? So it's, you know, you're constantly deciding your personality based on overcoming all of the obstacles that you face. And then voila, you wake up and you're you know, however old you are now, and now you are the accumulation of all of the little choices you made growing up.
Of course, yeah. Then you started, like, moving around a lot to different places where your mom was working. Okay. So yeah. So you moved, like, once a year, or?
It was every 3 years.
Okay.
We moved. But what? Then it, you know, sometimes there's little moves within those moves. But yeah, but it was just a lot of moving around.
I would assume that it takes a lot of energy to adjust to a new environment and to try to find your position in the hierarchy and so forth. How was that for you?
Yeah, it was a struggle. It was tough, and not having consistent friends. Like, I look at friends that I have now, they have friends that they've had since kindergarten, and I don't have any of those, like, the longest, you know. Although with social media now, a lot of my girlfriends from junior high and I, like, we've all reconnected, and so that's been so fun.
How old are you in junior high?
It's like sixth to ninth grade.
So 12?
Yeah, probably like 12. I don't know. I'm not good at ages. I'm not an ageist.
No, that's fine. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it was like preteen.
If I had to guess, I would say that you were a pretty girl growing up.
Yes, but extremely. Just kidding.
Yeah, especially compared to your siblings, I know. But
I hope they don't hear this.
I hope they do.
My siblings are beautiful.
Yeah, that was a joke. I haven't met them. I'm sure they were. But anyway, did that sort of help when you came to a new place that people should have taken an interest in you? Or was it like everybody was moving around because you went to military schools?
Yeah, everyone was moving around. Right. So, well, in the military schools, then that everyone's used to that culture of everyone being new. And so it's not as... It's easier to fit in. And then I really wanted to go to a non-military school, but there I was the new kid, and it just didn't work out.
Okay.
But in the military schools, they didn't have like music programs or theater programs or anything really artistic. So that's why I wanted to go to an off-base school, so that I could have some of that type of influence. But every school I went to, I started like a little choir or a theater club or something. So, you know, it really encouraged my entrepreneurship.
That's fantastic. Did you come from an artistic family?
Not really. My mother is a nurse, so she has her PhD in nursing, and she was a colonel in the Air Force. And then my father is an engineer. So between the two of them having, you know, their first child wanting to be an artist or be creative, they both had no idea what to do with me. And then my brother, he's a musician and a recording engineer and producer. So with the two of us, they were even more confused. They had no idea how to encourage or inspire art development. So he and I just had to go out and, like, make our own, figure out how to do this all on our own.
Have you always had, like, the urge to express yourself artistically?
Yeah. Yes, I always, even from when I was little, I used to make these plays on a tape recorder, and I would record the other voice, and then I would put the tape recorder in the closet, and I would open the door when we had company, and I would say, like, hey, you in the closet, you want to come out and play with me? And then you would hear me disguising my voice saying, no, I don't want to. I don't want to play out there with you.
That's fantastic.
And I had little plays of the person in the drawer or the person in the closet, the person in the refrigerator. Yeah, so I always was very creative. Which is great, because if you're really creative, then you can figure out how to be creative.
Yeah.
Because you just create it.
I assume that you went to some kind of acting college later on.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On the stage for the first time, do you remember that?
Yes, they did this pageant of, it's like this silly, silly play, but I played a horse butt. A play.
Someone was the horse's head.
Yeah, I wasn't picked for the head.
Okay. So that was the first time.
Right, but I never saw the audience, so I don't know if that counts.
Well, I guess it did, because you were there for a reason, I guess.
Yeah.
That you wanted to be on stage.
Right, I had to bring up the rear.
Were there parts that you would have rather done?
I don't know. You know, I was a dancer. I started as a dancer. And then when I was like 15, I realized that I really could never have a dance career because I'd already peaked. Like, to be a dancer, you have to like really be epic by the time you're like 12 or something.
Oh, okay.
And I started late, but I really loved dancing.
Why? Was it like Fame and so forth? Was that on television then?
Yeah, like Fame and like going to see the ballet. And I don't really know what drew me to dance, except that that's what, you know, my mom wanted to encourage me, but she didn't know how, but she knew that she could put me in dance class. And so, because, you know, there's dance classes everywhere, so she put me in dance class. So then I just was like, I love this. I need to express myself this way. So I took all kinds of dance. And even, you know, my mom was a single mom, and so she didn't have time to bring me and my brother to separate activities. So one summer, I really wanted to take this ballet summer camp. So my mom took it with me, and she made my brother take it. So okay. The three of us were in this ballet class for the summer. It was really sweet.
Where was this? Where did you live by then?
That was in Northern California, in this place, Fairfield, California.
Okay. And then by the time that you were done with high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where were you staying there? And then?
There, I was still in the Bay Area in Northern California.
Okay, because for college, you changed coast, right?
Yes, I went to Ithaca College.
I'm happy that you said that, because I don't think I can pronounce it. Ithaca.
Ithaca, yes.
Okay, so you went to Ithaca College. Was your family with you?
At Ithaca?
Yeah.
No. No, you know, when I decided I wanted to become a professional actor, my mother wanted me to go to business school. And she wanted, not just business school, she wanted me to go to, like, administrative assistant school, like secretary school.
That sounds really boring, Mom.
Right. Well, she was worried about me. So instead, I said, well, I'm going to be an actor instead. So it was my choice to be an actor was purely out of rebellion. So So then I went to community college. I went to a community college in Northern California. And then right after that, I actually started working professionally as an actor. And then when I was working, some of the people I was working with, they really encouraged me to go to college. So I left. When the show ended, I decided, well, I'm going to go to college. And I had auditioned for a bunch of schools, and Ithaca College offered to give me a full scholarship. So I went there. And it was beautiful. I fell in love with the campus. And, you know, Cornell is on the same campus, or in the same city. Cornell University, it's a Ivy League school. So the whole town is just two big colleges. So it was a really good time.
In what way?
It was fun. I was, you know, acting, doing plays and musicals and dancing and singing and just every single thing I love to do, I was doing all the time, like eat, breathe, sleep. Every single thing I love to do.
And how old were you when you started college?
Well, I took some time off, so I was...
Like in your 20s or...?
Yeah, no, I think I was like 19 or 20 or something.
Okay. And was that the first time that you lived by yourself or without your mother?
My mother got stationed. She had to move right after I graduated high school. So I didn't want to move again because I had just gotten in with this theater group that I really liked and I had just made friends. So she left and then I just kind of had to fend for myself.
Okay. When I was 19, I went to a school in the southern part of Sweden. And that was the first time that I could sort of redefine who I was as a person. I could sort of get rid of that old Christopher that I had been like in the small town I came from. That was such a big relief for me because I suddenly felt sort of cool while for 18 and a half years I had been like a really loser sort of person.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have that same experience at the same age when you started college there? Or?
I don't know. You know, since I moved around so much, I was constantly redefining myself. So, I mean, and I still am. I mean, but having such a kind of fluid an upbringing that, you know, we moved around so much that I got to just choose who I wanted to be all the time. If I wanted to, like, hang out with the rappers, or if I wanted to hang out with the metalheads, or if I wanted to be a nerd, or if I wanted to be a theater geek, or, like, every place I got to just kind of...
So you tried all those?
I did everything. I ran the whole gamut.
Were you ever a pothead?
No. No, that's the one. No. My girlfriends and I, we used to just get dressed up really cute and go to the bowling alley and have cherry shakes and french fries. I didn't even know. I don't know. I was very sheltered.
Okay. Were you into sports as well growing up?
You know, the...
Yeah, you were a cheerleader at some time.
I was a cheerleader, but because the schools didn't have girls' sports. So only the boys had the sports, and then the girls, we just could be cheerleaders.
How is that? It sounds like the 1800s.
I know. That was just kind of how it was on the base schools.
But it's not like that anymore, right?
I don't think so. I don't think that would be possible.
I feel like smacking someone in the face when I hear that. But anyway... After college, or were you working in college as well?
No, I didn't. I wasn't working as an actress in college. But after college, I moved to New York City, and I went on, I think it was like 67 auditions before I booked my first job. And I love telling people that because acting is a really tough career, and like going on over 60 auditions and hearing no over 60 times. Most people quit before they even get to that point, before they even get to 60 auditions. So I think it's just a numbers game. It's who can stick it out the longest and still like maintain a sense of like an open heart and creativity and tenaciousness and spunk.
How do you keep that? I mean, the 65th time.
Yeah.
Like, how could you even have energy at that point?
Yeah. It was really tough. And I was counting them. I would write them in my book. And then when I got the first job, then I went back to count how many I went on. And I was like, are you kidding me? Oh my goodness. And it was hard. And I started just playing tricks, like playing games with myself for auditions. Like, okay, this batch of auditions, I'm going to pretend to be a spy. And so it would just be like a little secret that I would play that maybe had nothing to do with the audition or the part, but I would be suspicious. And so everything I did, I was like, are you telling the truth? I don't trust you. You know, and just kind of build it in as just like a little game to keep myself interested and curious, or like a new way to approach material.
Is there a trick how to sort of be good at it?
At auditioning?
Yeah.
No. You just have to keep doing it. It's like I said, it's approaching every audition with a sense of vigor and passion and being fresh and not letting go of all the other ones. Because like I've gotten really close to a lot of really cool things and then I didn't get them. And it's so easy to then go to the next audition and be like, oh, what's the use? But you can't. You have to open your heart and let yourself be in love with what you do. And, you know, I'm an actor. And the thing is, I'm just an actor. There's other people who have way more intense and necessary careers, and they have the same type of rejection or like the same type of struggles. And you still have to approach every single day with a sense of fresh passion and newness. And
but I read an interview with you when you were unemployed and you had... Thank you. No, but what did I say?
Oh, you're talking about when I was unemployed.
Yeah.
Like, what did I do?
No, but because you filed yourself, or what do you call it? You went to some kind of office where you say that I'm unemployed. I'm not sure what that's called in English. Mm-hmm.
Unemployment place?
Yes. Because it seems like because when I read up on you, you do like 1 million different things. You do stand-up comedy, and you do acting, and you do design, and you paint spoons. And have you ever been unemployed, or has that been a problem for you? I mean, you're an artist. Artists are unemployed.
Yeah. Well, what I do, all that other stuff, is what I do to keep myself creative and keep myself fresh, and I'll go through phases where like I'm acting a lot and I'm doing a lot of on-camera work, and then I'll go into a phase where I'm doing just more internal creative work, like writing music, writing stand-up, and then some more like more tactile stuff where I'm painting and making jewelry, and then I got to express with Jenny and Jim Bob, my jewelry line, I got to really express a business side of myself, which I didn't even know I had, and I loved it, and I was able to take this product to thousands of stores all over the world and negotiate really significant contracts with big companies, and that was super exciting. But it's just keeping versatile and letting just life be an adventure. It's just life.
I would assume that leading a life as an actor must be... I mean, if you wouldn't do all those other things, I would assume that it could be rather depressing between jobs, or...
Yeah, yes. just waiting and lying down, lots of lying down and throwing. I would throwing yourself against things. I do a lot of face plants into my laundry. I have a fainting couch, just writhing and screaming, crying. That's all part of it.
Yeah.
This isn't a dating podcast, is it?
Why is that?
People may think that I'm crazy.
Uh-huh. But you're married.
Yes.
So you don't have to pretend to be sane here. So you're already taken. It sounds like did you want to do something?
Oh, I was just going to check.
What time it is?
Yeah, we're...
How much time
Where in
do
my
I
life
have?
Are we?
We're on Broadway.
Oh, we're on Broadway.
I think so. Was that your first job that you booked?
It was my second job.
What was the first one?
The first one I did a musical in Denver, Colorado. That was really fun. Then right when I came back, the week I came back, I booked Broadway.
I just saw Birdman and I saw Book of Mormon when I was in New York like 1 week ago. Because I've always sort of hated that district. It's so ugly walking through it in New York. But now I've seen the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your relationship to Broadway?
You know, when you live there, you avoid that place like crazy. But then when you're working there, it's got this whole other thing. It's your, like, walking down the street and you've got, like, your... working in this Broadway stage and like all the it's a feeling unlike anything. It's so invigorating and thrilling to be on a Broadway stage, and it was like a dream. It was a dream of mine and I got to do it, and I loved it, and getting to know all the other people on Broadway, and I've made some really good friends that I was on in the show with, and like we'll be friends forever. And really, it was a really thrilling experience.
And if you compare, I mean, doing stuff with cameras, comparing that to being on stage, what would you, if you had to choose one that you have to do for the rest of your life, but you can't do the other?
Ay, ay, ay. No, I can't do that. But there is a rush and a feeling of live theater that is irreplaceable. And I haven't gotten to do so much of it now that I live in Los Angeles. And it's something that I miss.
Why is that? Is there not the same scene here? Or?
You know, it's just different. It's there is the scene here. But, you know, I've just been working in other mediums that it's, you know, rehearsals and stuff like that. It's really hard to schedule. But, no, I will always love live theater.
I would assume that there's so much waiting working with when it's, like, televised or a movie. Or...
Right. I mean, you spend most of your time waiting. And then you get to actually perform your craft. Maybe 10 minutes. And then wait. And then it's such a more collaborative medium, film and television, that you are, in an actor, you're like the bass player in a band. You just kind of do what other people want you to do, but you think that you are running the whole show. You need to have actors to facilitate the vision of everybody else. But I think theater, the actor is actually gets to fill in the gaps of the vision. So it's a more actor-friendly medium. And then film is very, it's deep. It's like really intense. It's like it gets inside of your soul and the camera can see everything, even things you didn't think it could see. So it's a whole different type of experience as an actor
Does that mean that when you're filming that you sort of, you work with really, really fine movements? I mean, I would assume that if you're on Broadway, you have to make big gestures and you have to speak really loud because you might not be on a microphone. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're working with film, there's much more nuance, or is mm-hmm. that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. And the camera catches your essence. It gets things that you don't even know that you give, because it can just see you. It sees you.
Yeah.
And then, yes, and then theater, the camera is much bigger and there's many more cameras.
You've been a professional actress for well over 10 years since, like, when did you graduate from college?
No, yeah, I've been a professional actress for probably close to 15 years.
Yeah. Can you say that there's been times during those 15 years that you've felt that you've really had, like, momentum? That, because you just told me that when you came home from Colorado, you booked a new job, like, right away.
Mm-hmm.
And have you felt that it's sort of, well, momentum is the best word I can come up with, that you've felt that you're, it's sort of going your way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's happens several times. I mean, it's like there's the momentum and then, you know, what do you do with it? I mean, it's just, it's a lifelong, you know, it's luck.
Mm.
It's luck and tenacity. And it's surfing. It's like, I don't surf. Well, yeah, navigating an acting career is very much like surfing, I imagine, where you see the swell coming and you just have to position yourself in the right place to be able to really hang ten. I don't know, I'll throw out every surfing term I could think of because I don't know what any of them mean. But yeah, it's a bit, you've got it. Some of it is luck. Some of it is like intuition. Some of it is like you make your own destiny. It's a really fun balancing act.
You have such great charisma, I would say, and you're really funny as well. But do you feel that you've reached your full potential?
No, I'm still alive. Jeez.
What do you mean? Do you have to be dead to be full potential?
I haven't reached the full capacity of my human potential. Mm-mm.
What's in the way of you getting there?
I think it's a lifelong experience. Who I am as an actor now is not the same person I was as an actor 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Like, my work is getting deeper, and the deeper you can get, the lighter you can be, because you've got the gravitas to carry comedy. Sometimes when I do stand-up, I am crying, and it's funny, and it's you know, learning how to express all the different types of expression that I have and all the different ways to express, and I just have a million ideas. I constantly have new things I want to try, new things I want to do and make and create and experience and explore. So, no, I haven't reached my full potential, but I'm on my way.
That's nice to hear. But do you have any gigs planned, by the way?
I don't. I'm in the writing phase.
Okay. So, do you have any exciting projects coming up that you can tell me about?
Not that I can really talk about right now, because it's still, everything's still being kind of negotiated.
Why aren't you super famous by now? You're so talented and nice and
thank you.
So forth.
I see myself as super famous. No.
I'm not sure that fame is what you want, but I mean,
yeah, it's, you know, honestly, just to earn a living as an actor, earn a living doing what I love to do, earn a living using my talents and my gifts as a person. To me, that's the most important thing. You know, if you get into this business or anything for the fame or notoriety, it's just, you're going to constantly be banging your head against the wall, But if you do it because it's what you love to do, then just being able to do it is the gift.
And then I would assume or hope, if there's any God, do you believe in God,
by the way? Yes, of course.
Why is that so, of course?
Why not?
Have you ever seen God?
In every smiling baby.
Okay. But if there is a God, I would assume that, or if there is any justice, I would assume that if you keep doing what you love, and if you keep being good at it, I mean, fame and fortune and, or success or whatever you want should come your way. And it perhaps has also done that.
Well, yeah, already. It's, you know, just doing the best you can every day and trying to get out of my own way and letting myself be the purest, truest expression of myself and being prolific in creation and in expression, then, yeah, eventually you, something happens. If you do things, things happen.
Absolutely. That's a good piece of advice.
If you do nothing, nothing happens.
Yeah, very good. Do you have a band now?
I don't. I mean, yeah, no, I don't.
No, but you do music. And is it any chance that my listeners and myself can listen to it?
I think on jennyandjimbob.com, there's a few of my songs available for download. I'm not sure. Someone's been messing around with the website, so I'm not exactly sure what's still on there. But I do believe that you can download two of my songs on jennyandjimbob.com.
Where would you like to be in 5 years?
Right here with you.
Oh, that's nice to hear. I think you're lying, but... And that's a sin.
You know, I'm really enjoying writing, and so I would like to create my own show, like whether it's like a web series or something on, you know, something. I just would like to see more of me doing things and writing music. I would like to, like, compile all of the music I've written and not all of it, you know, the good stuff, and put it together and like have a little album that I've written and like write stuff and turn my hair into cotton candy and my eyes into gumdrops. I'm sure that'll be available in 5 years.
Will you have an hour on Comedy Central of your stand-up comedy in 5 years?
I don't know. You know, I'm not like a stand-up. I'm not like a person that's like a stand-up. I love doing stand-up because it gets me to write, and it's a place where I can just go to perform. I'm not like trying to get up the ranks to have like my comedy special.
Okay, so you're not going to open for Louis C.K.
I don't think so. Soon. I'm not like in a really aggressive comic. So, you know, I can't get a crowd like really excited.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that's where my true talents lie, but I really like the writing aspect and the performance aspect of it. So,
would you like to recommend something?
My favorite thing that I always remind myself, I think Dolly Parton said it, but, you know, I don't trust quotes because you never know really who said it. But she's a pretty spicy lady, so I imagine she probably said it. But the quote is, find out who you are and do it on purpose.
Who do you think I should interview on my podcast?
Well, this guy, he's my friend. And he's an internet person. He's an internet celebrity.
Okay.
His name is Vincent Cyr, C-Y-R. He's a really fun, creative, funny guy to talk to.
I will check that out. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Sure.
It was a pleasure.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, prior to this meeting with Jennifer, I read an interview with her with the headline, "Jennifer Hall is the weirdest person I have ever met." Well, I'd say that she's one of the most sane people I've ever met. Humble, she's funny, and she's thankful for her opportunities, and so creative. All right, that's all for this week. And as you might have noticed, this is a bi-weekly podcast. However, as a token of appreciation for Noel Gallagher and all the people he works with, I met him a few days ago, and we'll post his episode on July 15th already. That's in 1 week from now. So make sure that you subscribe to Varvet International in your pod app and or on RSS, not to miss any new episodes. And for the Swedish listeners, that's Varvet without the umlauts. I'd like to thank my editor Lovisa Olsson and the producer Kristina Jörling Biro. Don't miss her podcast Pop Culture Confidential, by the way. And also thanks to Acos for distribution and to Uniforms for the Dedicated for the sponsorship. Check out their website at uniformsforthedicated.com. All right, talk to you in a week. Noel Gallagher. He was a really interesting guy. You'll like that. Okay, bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.